Barron is an Afro-Latinx, globally recognized, award-winning screenwriter and author, filmmaker, political figure, and advocate for the Black and Brown LGBTQ plus community. He currently serves on his neighborhood council and is a member of the Government Relations Committee and co-chairs the board's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee. In 2016, Jace helped pass SB 813 with Assemblymember Mike Gibson, Senator Connie LeVay, and Attorney Gloria Allwright revoking the statute of limitations on rape charges in California. His openness with his own story as a male survivor has led his advocacy work, including being part of Yale University's Psychology Department Advisory Board. In March 2024, Jace accepted a role of the District Attorney of Los Angeles Advisory Board. Barron's documentary film, Beyond Ed Buck, co-produced with Pose star Haley Sahar, continues to be a call-to-action film to change the lives of overlooked communities. Y'all, we got Jace. Okay, so I have the same few questions throughout this that the followers know about. And my first question always is, who are you?
Ooh. Who am I? That is a very layered question. I'm someone who is learning themselves more and more every day. I am authentic. I am genuine. I am someone who has an authentic passion for helping other people, bringing conscious conversation. I'm a traveler. I'm an explorer. I'm here more often than I used to be, but we've done Australia, we've done Bermuda, we have done Japan, we have done China. I love experiencing different cultures and different people. And it's funny because my dad actually did a DNA test a few years ago and found out that we're from the Fulani tribe in Cameroon, and they are the most nomadic tribe in the country. And so he was like, "Oh my gosh, that's you." And so, like, it's this genetic at this point. And also my grandmother, who actually passed away this past October, who was a huge pillar in my life. She was actually part of Jimmy Carter's, it was called the Friendship Fund, or Friendship Freedom. She traveled around the world, and she went to Russia and to all these different places as a Black woman in the 1960s and 70s. And so, no, and I remember getting postcards from her when I was younger. I had them all on my bulletin board. So It's definitely something that is, genetic and part of my being. So I'm a lot of things. I just try to do my best every day, take it a day at a time, and put good into the world.
How did we meet?
Oh my gosh, how do we meet? So this is Cal State Day. So for the listeners, I went to about 5 different colleges, but was enrolled in one. I went to Cal State Fullerton in Orange County.
Was out here.
No, right. And Jim Nico went to Cal State San Bernardino. And so I'm from the IE in Riverside, so is Jim and Nico. And I can't really pinpoint the exact meet. I mean, I don't know if you can, but it was definitely freshman year of college.
We were babies.
Yeah. We weren't even legally able to drink. Like, it was fresh out of high school, and we were just trying to figure life out. And so, we immediately clicked, and here we are over, 15 years later, almost 20 years later.
Yeah, we're elders. We're outside. Yeah. We're elders. Well, no one needs to know how old we are, though, but we're elders.
We're just growing. And we keep growing to the day we die, or perish, transition.
Suddenly my eyes. What does trauma mean to you?
Trauma. I think that trauma is a isolated, I think trauma can mean different things. When I think about my own story, I think about trauma as an isolated event that happened that has caused a ripple effect in the way that I behave, interact with others, with myself, with the world around me, the way I view things. Something that's had kind of a not so good effect on just life. I think the beautiful thing about anything in life also is that you could take control of anything in your life. So with trauma, with the trauma that I've been through, whether it be something like my parents' divorce or just navigating this world as a Afro-Latino queer person, you know, there's different things that kind of pop up, and we can take control of those narratives and our own narrative. And so one thing that I think that both you and I have done beautifully is taken trauma and turn it into triumph. You know, we have taken our stories and used it to empower others, to influence other people, and let people know that their trauma can also be triumphant. And it's just a matter of the way you look at things. So
you have been, you know, we've been those friends that anytime somebody got a project, we'd be like, how, what do you need? I'm there. Call me.
Yes.
I don't care if we don't talk for 2 years, a text message. I got you. Like, we just show up. It's like this thing.
Yeah.
And we have seen each other navigate some really interesting things, not even necessarily knowing we were both navigating being survivors, which is interesting. To like be in community, but not necessarily know that you're in community. Mm-hmm. And I know like the things that we have that have happened to us. Also, y'all, if you want to hear all of the journey, Jace was on another episode of Trauma Queen. So go back and listen to that. Boom, boom. We don't need all that. But
We can if you want to.
You can, but we're gonna roll it in.
Okay.
I am someone that started talking about my rape, and I never stopped talking about it, and it just got louder, and you as well. And so, can you kind of share that journey to even being able to be that loud voice suddenly? Because it doesn't. You don't just wake up one day like, I'm gonna talk. Like.
Oh no, not even close. So as you may have said, I had been very public about this. You know, I was sexually assaulted, raped, when I was in my mid to late 20s. I can't really pinpoint the exact time. But I've used that isolated incident that happened to me. And again, like Jim Nicus said, started talking about it after I kind of went through my own self-healing. And that was a journey in itself on my own in solitude. And as Jamnika mentioned, I did not disclose that to really anybody. There may have been like two or three people that it kind of came up in conversation. And that's actually how I kind of realized that I had been assaulted, because I was talking about the incident and a friend was like, hold on a second, that doesn't sound like what you're trying to make it to be. You know, you were raped. And so that kind of forced me to kind of go through my own healing journey. And I tried therapy. I will say this, finding the right therapist is so important, because there are therapists that are not the right therapist for you. So just like you want to buy a new pair of shoes or anything that you want, you need to shop around and make sure you get the right therapist. So I will say that. I'm not going into too much detail. But a year after, I was writing for a publication that was based out of Connecticut called HIV Equal. And I decided to use my column to share my story. And mind you, this is not, you know, the New York Times, or, you know, this is a very small nonprofit in, Newark, Connecticut. And the article had 600,000 impressions within the first week and reached close to 1 million impressions overall. And so just that, and that was just organically through social media and people sharing, and I had thousands of emails from survivors and just people thanking me from all over the world. And so with that feedback, I knew that my story was bigger than me. I knew that this was something that the world needed the courage to talk about themselves. And so if I was that person, hey, it's bigger than me, let's talk about it. And since then, that was almost 10 years ago. And I have been talking about it ever since. And, you know, one of the things I will say that I'm grateful for is that when the article did come out, I was actually asked by assembly member Mike Gibson, Dr. Carson, who's became a great friend of mine today, as well as Gloria Allred and Senator Connie Leyva out of Carson. And we helped pass SB 813, which revoked the statute of limitations on rape charges in California. And so that was during the Me Too movement when it first happened, with Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby and, you know, all these things that were happening in Hollywood. And, you know, to be a part of that bill being passed, because Governor Jerry Brown did sign the bill and it went into action. And that just allowed other people, other survivors, to go ahead and move forward. So, you know, when things happen, I'm a very spiritual person. And so when things happen, I kind of take note of those things. And I just keep leaning on what feels right. And so that's what I've continued to do since then. I mean, I did a show in New York. It was a benefit fund for survivors. And a year later, Yale University called me and was like, hey, we saw you host this show in New York a year ago. We want you to be on our advisory board. And so from that, I started working with Yale University. And so, you know, there's just little moments in time and significant things that have happened. It was like, okay, I'm on the right track. And I continue to do and act upon those things.
Yeah.
So it's been a whirlwind. And it's still going.
I think that the word advocate is, this is going to sound real rude at first, but stick with me. I think the word advocate is something that is so thrown around. Like everyone's an advocate. Like I'm an advocate for this and all these things. And what does advocacy mean to you? Like, what does that actually look like for you?
First I want to acknowledge what you said about the word advocacy, because I will say it has become almost a glorified,
it's like ally.
Yeah. Which I don't mind ally, but like they're on their side. Don't make the ally the forefront, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I think the advocate, you know, because now it's been part of all these huge, very mainstream platforms. And, you know, I have seen firsthand, you know, people who started out in a certain lane kind of get into this other tier of notoriety and, you know, not putting so much work in as far as like the ground rules. And that's not to say that, you know, being a visible person is not part of the work. You know, visibility, whether you're, you know, marginalized, queer, Black, Hispanic, trans, Asian, that is advocacy work in itself. So I want to make sure that that is clear. But I just want to make sure that, you know, make sure that we're coming back to the people who are in need, because that is really where it is. So all that to say, my definition of advocacy is, you know, serving. It's a servant job. You know, it's serving people who are in need, who do not have, I'm not saying who do not have, they do have the voice, but may not be heard in certain spaces. You and I both know that we have, you know, access to certain spaces with certain people.
Sure.
And, you know, we represent a lot of marginalized people, whether they're survivors or whoever. And, you know, we really put our best foot forward to help humanity. So it is a service job. Yeah. It's not something that is fabulous, and it's very roll up your sleeves and get in there and fight, because it's a fight, and you know it may always be a fight, but you know we always put our best foot forward and keep fighting for those who are often overlooked by society.
My beef with the word ally, because I don't want people to be like, oh, she don't like allies. That's not my point. I think that a lot of people appoint themselves as allies, but don't do the work. So for me, I'm like, so you're an ally, but how do you become an accomplice? Like, how do you actually get into some action and some movement? Because everyone's like, I'm an ally. I'm like, girl, what have you done? Okay, cool. So like, you know, just calling yourself a name, like you said, like versus, no, I'm in the streets. I'm out here dirty. I'm helping people move. I'm doing these things in the dark that I don't actually want people to know what I'm doing, you know?
And I
think that that's really different.
Mm-hmm. No, there's a significant difference in that. There's a difference in saying, I'm okay with you being X, Y, and Z, than actually like standing up in front of whoever your friends who may be homophobic, transphobic, you know, racist, and standing up to them. Because, again, there's different spaces that people feel comfortable saying certain things in certain spaces. So the real thing is like, what are you going to say when, you know, the people that you're allies to are not in the room and someone says something out of pocket? So that's really where the test comes in.
Yeah. I don't believe that most people that find this kind of work or this that this work, I believe that it finds them, but I don't believe it's like out of the blue. Like I think it comes also from like how we're raised and like the structures that were put in play. So like what structures happened in your youth to allow you to be here to do this?
It's interesting. So, as I kind of mentioned before, my grandmother, she was a huge civil rights advocate back in the day. She and I want to give her roses because she was such a huge influence for me. She was a tough cookie, I'll tell you that, but she got it done. But she was someone who was friends with the kings, you know, the she loves talked about the girls being at their house in Connecticut, and you know, she always stood at the forefront for people of color. And even my grandfather, you know, he was a dentist, and he you know, once money started coming in, because at one point, you know, people are poor, but he kept his office in the hood and served those communities because he wanted to make sure that his people were taken care of and their dental work was taken care of. And so I saw examples of that. Even my mother, who has her own private practice in gynecology, and my father, who, you know, he served in the Marines, he was a sergeant. And so I was always surrounded by people who were, you know, doing some type of service. I will say that my goal was not this. I went to college at CSUF for communications and entertainment studies. And when I graduated, I moved to Los Angeles to be closer to my new job that I thought I was going to get. That just never came. I wanted to work in corporate. I worked at Bravo NBC as an intern
He
when I
was
went to
out there.
school. I was out. I was on the road,
Yeah,
like all the freeways, the
booked.
405, the 101, the 134. I was interning when I was a sophomore, because I was like, when I graduate, I'm going to get a job. And then I graduated, and guess what? I didn't get a
Did
job.
not.
Did not. I was working at the restaurant still. But those things, and at the time, I was so kind of I was angry because like I spent all this money, I spent all this time on this degree, but like I'm not seeing the fruits of my labor. But in that, it also pushed me into doing my own things. I started blogging, and I was like, okay, well, let me blog for free. And my blog started hitting people left and right. People like, oh, I understand you. Let me follow you. I got a couple more hundred followers on Twitter, a couple more hundred on Instagram. And I realized that, okay, my voice is something. And then, you know, from the blogging, it went to the live shows with Kiss and Tell. And like, hey, let's kind of unpack some LGBT stuff, some Black queer stuff. Let's unpack it in person, because we're not going to be in the club. That's a safe space. We like the club. We have a good time. But like, hey, let's actually, you know, be sober and come together and have conversations. And that turned into a podcast, the podcast that myself and Char Jussel hosted for years. And then, you know, Beyond Ed Buck, that film, the documentary film that, you know, I did with my partner Haley Sahar, best known from Pose, you know, that came about because I guess the initial inception, I should say, was people were messaging me, contacting me when, and if you guys don't know, Beyond Ed Buck, sorry, Beyond Ed
I
Buck
was going to
was
ask you to
a
explain it.
Democratic, yeah, he was a political donor that was in West Hollywood, and he was luring Black gay men into his home and injecting them with crystal meth. And there was two people found dead in his apartment, one overdosed, and then he just kept on doing it. So that whole case, that whole story kind of blossomed into this film because people were contacting me, asking me like, hey, we need help, you know, we don't know what to do. And at the time, it really was not a big publicized thing. It was kind of a community conversation. And so I was like, well, I'm not an attorney. I really don't know, but I am a filmmaker, so let's make a film. And then when Haley jumped on board, mid-process, we expanded that conversation to trans lives, and we unpacked just queer people in general with sex work, with drug addiction, with trauma, with racism within the LGBT community, with transphobia within the LGBT community, all of these different kind of subcategories as to why, you know, Ed Buck happened with Jamel Moore and Timothy Dean, but then also all these other lives that are constantly being overlooked by society. And so kind of like how I mentioned earlier, there's things that happen that I notice and I take note. I'm a spiritual person. So when I see something that is blossoming the way that it should, I kind of lean into that and kind of not what my desires are. I was watching the LaToya Luckett interview. And she was like, when Destiny's Child, she was like, when Destiny's Child, dismembered the original four, D4,
yes,
DC4, she was like, I don't know what to do. And she said, God said to get in the trunk and Jesus take the wheel. And so I'm not going to get in the trunk. That's a little scary, but I'll be in the back seat and Jesus take the wheel and I'm along for the ride. So whatever comes my way, whatever it's supposed to be, is going to be. And I accept it. And I love it. She said, get in the trunk. I was like, okay, well, that's a little dark. And
beloved.
I saw that movie. But, let's get in the back seat like an Uber. But I know the driver.
With a driver.
Yeah. Jesus, take the wheel.
you wrote the blog. People started reaching out to you. But how did that affect you? Like, how did it change your life? Once, people start emailing you, you're consuming all of this while also navigating your own stuff. And I think sometimes people forget that once your name gets out. The emails, baby. You're like, wait, what? So how, what?
Yeah, I will say that being transparent with your rape is and can be a lot more traumatizing than the self-healing when you're doing it on your own. Mm-hmm. Because now it's out in public. So that means that everybody knows what happened to you. That means that everybody around you, whether it be your parents, your sister, your friends, have a different perception of you, especially people who are uneducated. And so that, I will say, I was not prepared for, nor that I really take into consideration when I wrote the article and put it out there. It was extremely overwhelming. It was probably more overwhelming. It was just as overwhelming as when I did the self-work and realized that I was raped, because it was something I couldn't control. I remember that weekend vividly. It was Labor Day weekend. The article came out. I remember going out to a party in West Hollywood. And, me and Jimmy could go way back. I used to have a lot of fun.
We've seen things together.
We have seen all the things. And so, I was so used to this, because, I'm a very social person. I'm an extrovert. I like to have a good time. And so, I was so used to this energy of, hey, Jace, da, 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 da. I know a lot of people. And I remember that weekend specifically because I had went out for Labor Day weekend and everyone's face was just solemn when they saw me. And I knew that because they read the article. Yep. And I was I was not prepared for that at all.
Sure.
And so a lot of people were like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And, I appreciated all those things. But for me, the person that was going through it, I was not prepared for that response. And that was the response I got for quite some time. And so it's something that I kind of felt, I questioned myself, why did I do this? Why did I put that out there? I was almost kind of embarrassed in a sense too, because I was just I know I'm doing good, but now I feel like the sacrificial lamb. Why am I on the chopping block? Because I still have to live my everyday life with this information out there. And so that was just a lot for me to digest. And thankfully, I haven't had any rude questions that were asked to me. There's been a couple of inappropriate questions where I've said I don't want to talk about this right now. Send me an email. But people also people think they have the license to, ask you anything, whatever, in public.
They do.
And, And I'm just like, well, I'm actually at a restaurant with, my bestie who's in town, so I don't want to talk about me being raped right now. But, I'm happy to have this conversation at another time. Shoot me an email. So, you know, it's just things like that. But I have completely adjusted now. But I will say, coming forward with that has definitely reshaped the world around me, you know, especially because I was building a brand at that time as like a very like high energetic fun person, which I still am. But that kind of added, like, people didn't know how to digest that, especially coming from me. Because if I'm like, hey, and then like, oh shoot, wait, hold on, this whole entire time you were a survivor of rape and you didn't say nothing, and so people didn't know how to like digest that. And so that was, there was an adjustment for me as well about the, you know, for the people around me and how I was seen in their eyes. And so, you know, it has been a shift, for the, I would say for the better, because I've been able to have a lot more meaningful conversations with people. I think for people kind of, not everybody, but some people kind of looked at me in the superficial lens, which I want to have fun. Like, we're here once, so let's make anything we talk about fun, including sexual assault. They were shocked when I was on stage making jokes on stage.
We're
At
funny survivors, y'all.
yeah,
Like,
I was like,
why did we laugh?
we have been through it already. Like, life is gonna beat you up regardless. So let's have a good time. And I think that people, I remember that I was in New York, and I think people were expecting this like very like somber energy. And I was like, no, this is triumphant. Are you kidding me? We are here, we are alive, we are survivors. That is a good thing. And so really putting emphasis on that. And there was like, oh, and they had a great time. We raised a lot of money to help other survivors. And you know, we just had a good time. And so it's been an adjustment, but I'm good now. That was 10 years ago. I'm adjusted. But I think the initial, it was something else.
It is interesting how, like, sometimes the hard things that happen to us, we're like navigating it and it's news for them. Like, it's new for them. And they're like, oh, I'm so sad. And you're like, I'm okay. Like, this, my feelings over here. You take those. You take those over there because those are yours. And how have you been able to kind of switch it, right? Like, you have switched through so many different eras of yourself that I've gotten the privilege to see. And now I just see you all over the place, right? So what areas of advocacy are you in? Because you talk more than about being a rape survivor, baby, multifaceted. So what other areas do you find yourself being an advocate in?
Yeah, well, my tagline, I will say, is the intersection of advocacy and entertainment. So a lot of the projects I have aligned myself with have been in that realm. We celebrated 2 years of Beyond Ed Buck this past February. I also did a film called The Lifted that won the John Singleton Embrace Award for the Pan-African Film Festival. That was acquired by another network that will be announced soon.
Ooh.
But I'm an advocate for humanity. You know, I just was sworn into my neighborhood council, the city of Los Angeles. That was last month. That was something I was kind of keeping hush hush, and then I announced that.
What does that mean?
So basically, it is the so the city of Los Angeles has different councils and political positions. And so I found a seat on my neighborhood council. And so they're the ones that work directly with the council members who are in the district. And so there are different, what am I trying to say? There are different committees that are kind of coming working together, and they just kind of act as a hands-on liaison to get change happen, whether it be laws, whether it be community events, things like that. So it's like city council but neighborhood council. They work more hands-on with the people in the community.
Oh, I love that. It really is just like a different expansion of everything that you've been doing.
Yeah, and that's what I've been trying to like tell people, like, oh, you're doing politics now. I'm like, well, you know, I've been doing advocacy for over a decade now. And this is just more of an intentional route to get change to happen. And so I would say whatever I'm aligning myself with, it's advocacy based. And so I'm not sure when this is going to air. It hasn't been announced yet. So you're getting exclusive. Congratulations. But I actually just accepted a
Excellent.
role on the DA board's, sorry, the DA's advisory board for the Latin A committee. And so I'll be the
Yes.
only Afro-Latino on there. A lot of people don't know I'm Afro-Latino. My mother is Panamanian. She was born in Panama. She's
Gorgeous.
Colombian, Panamanian,
Goddess. Ooh.
Jamaican. Yes, Dr. Lita. She's a star on her
Ooh.
own in her own
Yes.
right.
Yes.
And then, so I'm actually the only Afro-Latino on that board. So I'll
That's
be
amazing.
working with the District Attorney of Los Angeles to get some change done. I am being, I think advocacy work is a lot of hands-on things. And you could shout, 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 shout from the top of your lungs. You could get things moving and mobilize. But I found my calling is kind of really more in the hands-on part. And so this is just another derivative of what I've already been doing.
Yeah, I also just hear like such intentionality in everything that you're
Yes.
doing. I'm sure people being your DM say, "Hey, can you do this? What about this?" And you're like, "You seem very intentional on what you put your name on, what you put your hands on. How did you get to this space?" Because I know I got to this space because people tried me. And sometimes we have to learn. But how has it been for you?
So it's interesting because I was just talking about this the other day. And I was just grateful that I have elevated my consciousness to beyond happy to be in the room.
Yes.
There was a time where I would just say yes to everything because I felt like I was so honored to be a part of it. There was a job I did years ago, and I saw so many things wrong with it. And but I was just happy to be there. It was because it was for a big company, and I was just happy to be there. And the end results were not reflective of what they're trying to do. Because they hired me because, queer, Black, Latino, like I did the Spanish thing, I did the Black project. So they kind of placed me where they wanted to, but the people behind the scenes did not look like me, nor did the scene around me look like something that I would participate in. And I didn't say anything. And so recently I was actually contacted to partner with another organization. And before they could even say something, I was like, well, I have questions. And I wrote a whole entire email. But they're like, we're just calling to hire you for this. I was like, well, I got questions because this is not. And I did that
Not
just
using my name.
automatically. Yeah, exactly. And like, I'm not, hold on a second. Say, Chris Loud. Chris, hold on.
Hold on,
Let me get my
Chris.
charger.
Oh yeah, get the charger. Chris, go ahead and edit, when I was rambling in the earlier stages. I got my stride now.
Hold on.
You're fine.
You can still hear me, huh?
Yeah, I hear the struggle.
Okay, hold on. I need this. Okay. You still hear me? I go out?
Yep, heard.
Okay. Heard. All right. My charger. Bada boom, bada bang. God. This is not gonna reach. Okay, hold on 1 second again. I
You're fine.
apologize.
I got my tea. No.
All right, we're back.
Oh
All right.
no. Hold. Did this article come out? Oh, this is 2022. They got me stressed. I thought they didn't change our company name on the SAG website. We're back. We're fine. Okay. Oof.
Okay. All right.
Okay. We'll clock
All
back
right. Can
in.
you re-ask? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, one, two, three. So we've been just talking about all of the things, but there's something that I wanted to ask you directly, and I think that it's something that we don't get asked often. How are you?
How am I? Today I'm great. My friend asked me that yesterday, and my response to him was lukewarm. I said, I'm above okay, but I'm not quite spicy like Chipotle hot, but I'm also not freezing cold and like sad. So I'm like lukewarm, and I was okay with that. But right now I'm feeling really, really good. I'm happy. I'm talking to you, a longtime friend. I'm also very proud of you too. I want to give you your roses because I see you.
Florist.
I acknowledge you, florist, like roses, carnations, dandelions, all the things.
Feeling.
Yeah, just all the spring pollen allergies just happening
How dare you? See, can't stand you. See, that's how you know people been friends. It goes so well, then it's like, gotcha. I asked that question because as people that have so much like thrown on us, we're often taking care of other people. And so I always like to check in, like, how are you? A question that I like to ask folks is, how's your brain? How's your heart? Because I think that those can change. So I'm going to ask you, how's your brain? How's your heart?
Okay, let me see. My brain right now is pretty clear, which I'm grateful for because there have been times where I have had foggy brain. So I'm pretty clear right now. My heart, the word that comes to mind is grateful. That is the way I feel with my heart, on a spiritual level. Otherwise, my heart is also good. I had a doctor's appointment about a month ago, and they said I'm pretty good. So cardiovascular, I'm doing okay. Thank God. I need some more vitamin D though, because I've been
What?
outside. I've been working, so I'm
I
a little
love,
vitamin D
well,
deficient. But you know,
we
but
gotta.
I'm we getting there.
You know what? I understand that part. Don't be fooled by this sunlight here. I'm not going outside. But this from my desk. Ooh, look at that glisten.
Listen. How are you? And how is your heart? And how is your brain?
I'm tired. I think the spaces that I've been have been so amplified and haven't stopped. Moving into working in more entertainment spaces or working in wrestling, or if it's working with different kind of clients, it's like so much, and the world is so much. So I'm tired, and I don't know if I necessarily identify as an empath, but sure, she feels it. I feel the energy of every space I'm in. I feel the energy of the world, and that's why I like to stay in my goddamn house sometimes, because energy. But my brain is so active, and maybe you also have this. And it's like I have moments where I'm feeling really good, and it might be supported by a microdose of a mushroom some days. But I'm like, how many ways and things that we can do to show up and like help other people? I don't know if like for you, sometimes I'm like, oh, we could do this. I could do this. Let me get started this.
I'm like a little like erratic with that sometimes. I've had to like chill out because I will see something and be like, I need to fix this now. Who can I call? Let me call da, 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 da. And I'll like start texting and sending pictures and like, okay, this is my idea, blah 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 blah. And then like we get really excited and then something's come to fruition. And people are like, I'm in the middle of like running for an office right now, so I can't do that. I'm happy you're excited, so I just have to keep going to find somebody else. But yeah, I do know what you mean about just having these like bursts of like wanting to like help people. So I get that. I see you. That's a good thing to have.
Sure, for us, when you can learn how to manage it, right? Like you said, I had to, like, you know, figure, take a little step back and figure out how to structure the things that work for us. Which brings me to, like, we weren't this good in the beginning. I'm just going to keep it a buck. We weren't this tight in the ways that we worked in the beginning. sorry for some of the things, you know, you're navigating. But, like, as people that have individuals that look up to us, which is still so wild to me. Like, that is the emails and things. I'm so humbled by it, because I remember where you and I were at 18, and I'm like, woo, we've made it. Okay.
I mean, but
y'all don't know. You don't ask none of them questions, but stick to us present day.
Yeah, because it didn't happen. I don't know what that is. That was not me.
I don't even know her. I don't know her. But as like someone might be tapping in, that's like, oh, I love, you know, catching up and seeing where Jace's head is. Do you have any advice for baby advocates out there?
Baby advocates, the first thing that comes to mind is keep your morals at the forefront of all that you do. Remember why you started. Because as the ladder climbs and you start being invited into certain spaces, in different spaces, it's easy to get lost in it. Yes. And remember what got you started. Remember why people started taking note of you. And let that kind of be the forefront of everything that you do. And that could be a very broad stroke too. And also too, and this kind of goes into this as well, is be flexible. You know, things, I did not seek out to be a filmmaker. And that is something that just kind of fell into my lap. But like I was saying, you know, advocacy was the forefront of that. And to speak to the morality part of it, with Beyond Ed Buck, you know, there was a deal that, I should say, there was a meeting that happened for that film before it was produced. And, you know, in that meeting, someone said, oh, this is the new Ted Bundy story.
No.
A sexy politician.
Nasty.
And I will say, they had access to a lot of resources.
Sure.
And, you know, as our end of the production team, we had to turn that offer down because of the moral aspect of it. And, you know, and thank God for Gilead, because at the moment it was very discouraging. Like, we were very looking forward to this meeting, you know, this collaborative partner, because it's a lot to make a film. Behind the scenes, like, y'all see the finished product. That took 5 years to make. And so, yeah. And so, but morally, the morals were the forefront of what we were doing. We're not going to sell out. A lot of times, these big names, these glitz and glitters, it may sound like something that is appealing, but just make sure that your morals are intact and the forefront of all that you do. And don't let these names intimidate you as well. There's a reason why they called you.
Yes.
There's a reason why they emailed you. So that light about you that caught their attention, don't change it or dim it to fit with their needs, because you have a voice for a lot of people who may not even know who you are right now. And make sure that they, and don't be intimidated in these spaces. There's been a lot of people who
take a face.
Hey, we want to do. I'm like, listen, if you want to use my name and my face, this has to be X, Y, and Z, because I represent a people who, like, the information needs to be correct. Whatever it goes out needs to be correct. And I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat anything to appease you. I'm sorry. And I had to get to that point, because I was not that way in the beginning. Like you said, we started off.
We were not here.
Yeah, I was like, you're calling me? Well, anything you want, I'd do it. But there's a reason why they were contacting me. But I'm not gonna say I went to as far as sold out. I never sold out. But I did not speak up in certain spaces where things could have been better, where I should have or could have said something.
Sure. I mean, I think also with age and confidence, and even in like ourselves, you know, like you start to be like, you are welcome for me being here. You're welcome for my time. My time is expensive. You are welcome. What did you do to get here though? Like, what were there certain things that allowed you? Like, I know for myself, I've done a lot of mirror work. So I like, you know, okay, as my friend, you know, I carry my emotions in my face and I look wild sometimes.
Poker face does not exist.
Okay, right. But so I had to learn how to manage my face in certain spaces, or even like the prosody, like even in my excitement, like how to hone it in and keep it tight. Like, have you done anything to hone in to make yourself just a little fine tuned to be able to show up and feel so confident?
I wouldn't say there's like exercises that I've done, but I think that has come from just being discouraged in certain spaces. Like I mentioned before, there was something that I did that was a great campaign, so let me not even like diminish it, but the experience that I had with it was not the best, even though I knew that, hey, it's bigger than me, but I felt used in that space as a person. And I felt used for a very, very long time. And then, you know, coming full circle, I've kind of used that now, like I should have said this, I should have done this, I could have, you know, voiced my opinion more, I could have spoken to, I I'm in the space, so let me like use my voice, but I didn't. So I think it's kind of like those moments where I kind of reflect back on, you know, things I didn't do to make sure I do it right the next time.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of where the confidence comes. And also too, just kind of, again, like my advice was to the younger advocates, like there's a reason why they're calling you. And, you know, I'm happy that I graduated past the happy to be here phase, because, you know, I am happy to be here, but like, let's have the conversation, you know, let's, there's a reason why I'm here. So let's have it. You know, I'm not going to just going to say yes to anything. And so, and, you know, and I will say this too, there's a lot of people that are receptive and actually appreciate that. You know, I had a call last week, you know, they offered me a small gig, and, you know, I said, well, I need to have a call with you first to like get the details. And it was like, oh, okay. And we had a call on a Saturday and it went well. And I shared some of my personal experiences and, you know, things with that. And she actually shares some of hers as well. And so people appreciate it as well. So don't be afraid to speak up, because it may be even well received more than you think that it will be.
I think we'd be doing everyone a disservice if we didn't talk about something that affects all of us, which is mental health. As someone that is out in these streets, baby, literally the streets, I've seen, if it needs to be, we will be in these streets, right? But like, how do you take care of yourself? Yeah. How do you take care of your mental health to get up and do this every day?
So I have had to learn to balance has been my New Year's resolution for the past 3 years, because it was something that I was practicing. It's going better. Okay. It's not like 1,000%, but it's going better than it was 3 years ago. I can say that.
Forward movement.
And so I've had to work on balance and acknowledge, hey, today, if I'm not feeling it, take a beat. You know, take a nap. It's okay to take a nap. I have that Zoom call. We were supposed to do this two weeks ago. And I was going to push myself to do the interview when I was sick.
Absolutely not.
Taking down Sudafed and Ricolas and all the things. I was like, no, I have to do this. And I was like, you know what? Okay. I'm not going to be able to perform to the best of my capacity feeling the way that I feel. So, I mean, and thank you for rescheduling this. But it's things like that. Like, I would have pushed myself to go ahead and do a project or catch a flight to get to so-and-so and like have the flu. And so I've had to learn to just like take beats, take care of myself, go to the doctor, get my vitamin D. I'm working on that too. And just take beats and take breaks. That's really the most things for me because, I will run my body into the ground. And I used to be able to when I was in my 20s, and I'm not in my 20s anymore.
We're not.
I remember one time I was on tour for my book, and I woke up in a hotel room and I did not know where I was. I did not know what state I was. And I kind of woke up panicked because I had been on so many flights in so many different hotel rooms. I was like, where am I? And I was like, I realized in that moment, I was like, okay, I need to take a beat because I cannot be panicked waking up from a nap thinking that I'm kidnapped or something crazy. And then also being really intentional with being in the moment, being present. That is something too. Like there's this is a practice actually that I read. When I'm driving, let's say right now I'm driving. If I'm doing a podcast, right now I'm talking to Jiminika. Right now I'm eating Chinese food just to kind of keep my brain present. So it's kind of little tools like that just to be mindful of, my space, my energy, and also taking note of my emotions.
That's
I've
fair.
been in a relationship for 5 years, and I am not the most I've worked a lot on my emotions and vocalizing my emotions and what they mean. And also acknowledging the triggers. If I'm feeling upset or whatever, learning how to put that into words. So that's something that my dad's a Marine, like I mentioned before. He don't talk about feelings. And so I was not raised around that. And so the fact that I'm even able to do interviews like this is amazing, like an act of God. But I've had to work a lot on just even expressing emotions and acknowledging, like, hey, if I feel uncomfortable in this moment, or if I feel sad or feel happy, like, how do I vocalize that? So there's just a lot of different tools and tricks, but I think the most is balance and mindfulness.
I love that. Are you working on anything now?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh my God, what can I disclose? Okay, so we just launched. This is actually not part of the advocacy world. Well, it kind of is. But me and Kadeem Hardison, you may know him best from a different world. We actually just launched a sunglass line with our collaborative partners, Vontel Eyewear in Brooklyn. So that launched, well, yeah. So, the iconic flip-up glasses,
I
it's a
saw
reimagined, it's a reimagined version. And so they're on sale on at Vontel.com, VONTELLE.com. Promo code REBOOT now for 15% off to the
Look at that.
listeners.
Look at that. Gifts.
So get your shades, and also the advocacy part, because of course with my project I do advocacy work. There is a scholarship fund that we are raising part of the proceeds to help a young person co of color to seek higher education. So we'll be giving a scholarship fund away as part of the project. And also too, of course, for Lady Java, that is a project that has been going on for quite some time. Haley Sahar. She's like the executive producer as well as playing the role of Sir Lady Java. Sir Lady Java was the first Black trans woman of color in the 1960s to be in Los Angeles and perform with Red Fox, Lena Horne, Richard Pryor, so many different things. Tina Turner, James Brown. Like she was that girl, the trans woman living at her as herself in the 1960s. And of course, the bigger she got, LAPD came after her, shut her show down in Red Fox Theater. And so she used her voice to advocate for Rule Number 9, which let people in California, they were not able to wear clothing of the opposite gender assigned at birth. And so we see RuPaul's Drag Race, even Ellen, and a woman in a suit is like a red carpet thing now. All those things were illegal in Los Angeles until Sir Lady Java went after LAPD in 1968. So we're doing her story, the script. It's a beautiful script. And so definitely take a look out for that.
Oh, yes, please do. Okay, so I like to end the questions on somewhat of me just being nosy.
Okay.
So what is the wildest thing that someone has texted or DM'd you in the last 2 weeks?
I don't get wild texts or DMs. I mean, I think a
Wild
lot
can
of them is.
be perspective.
A water pipe broke and needs to get fixed. It
Was
was, I got a video and it was like a mess, and I was like, oh God, okay.
like a flood?
More, well, kind of like a flood, more like a river situation.
That seemed wild. If you're just like, there's
Yeah.
now a river in my
And
home.
it just like came out the blue. And it's like the plumber was like, hey, we have a problem here, da 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 da. And I'm just like, oh,
That is a problem.
okay. What's the invoice looking like? So that's probably the wildest text I have gotten in the last 2 weeks. A broken
I love
pipe.
it. I love it. I
Yeah.
love it. See, wild
What
is,
about
that's
you?
wild to me. No, you don't, you can't do me. That's, we
Okay.
can't.
This is my seat. I
Yeah,
understand.
actually, this is my show and I ask the questions. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
This has been great. I love being able to talk to people that matter to me. I mean, you know, that I have connection with and like being able to show like different parts of them. And so thank you for always trusting the spaces and being vulnerable. Where can he, she, they, them, girl, guy, zay, zim, z, all of them, where can they keep up with you? Where can they find you?
Yes, so humanity out there, all the acronyms, they could find me, this Jay Sparin, at Jay Sparin on all platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I'm real simple. I don't have some crazy at, I don't know, blossominghorizon.edu. Like, I'm like straight up
That's probably
Jay
real too.
Sparin across the board. Yeah, like it's probably real, and they're probably an amazing person, but they're just not me. So at Jay Sparin, across the board. Also, my website is up as well at Jay Sparin. Classes, if you want them, again, vontel.com, promo
Get
code
the glasses,
reboot
y'all.
now. Get the glasses, help a young person of color in need that wants to get the education.
Oof.
So yeah.
This was great. Thank y'all for listening. You know all the words. And until next time.